Something that the Lord laid upon my heart. It's good to see you all this morning. It was touch and go last week. Emails back and forth. Shall we meet? Shall we not? Masks on, masks off. Who knows? But it's good. There was an encouraging decision to come and meet today. And here we are, masks, maskless, and worshiping. Hallelujah. Always love Rob on piano. I could hear him down bloody Great Eastern Highway. Oh yeah, he's practicing. It's all good. John chapter 20 this morning. John chapter 20. And we'll start reading in verse 19. John chapter 20 and verse 19. I don't know if you've had a look at the COVID statistics recently. I do that from time to time. And just as of yesterday, there's been 156 million cases worldwide. 93 million have recovered. And 3.6 million are dead due to COVID. 600,000 dead in America. 400,000 Brazil, now the hotspot, 230,000 and counting in India. And one of those Indian people is in our ICA unit. I think you've probably seen the news, struggling for his life. And who would have thought a year ago these statistics and our lives revolve around this pandemic? You know, this pandemic affects something, and I'd hate to get it. You know, there was one mad guy in America, says, oh, give me COVID, I can deal with COVID. You don't want to get COVID. This man in ICU is struggling for his life because it affects your breathing. That's the killer. It just affects your breathing. One of the worst nightmares of my life is not being able to breathe. That's the worst way I'd like to go. Any other way, shot, but not being able to breathe is like, that's it. You know, as I thought about that, you know, breathing is something we take for granted. You don't sort of wake up one day and thought, I'm glad I'm breathing. It's something that was just like, you just do. I want you to do something very simple for me right now. I want you to take a deep breath, breathe in. Hold it. Sorry. You can't do that for long, can you? You can't. Now imagine if you can't breathe out. And similarly, if you breathe out, take all your breath out, hold that position, you have to take breath in. You have to let that out. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. The two go together. You can't have one and not the other. I'll just take breathing in, thank you. Too much breathing out. Now you've got to do the two go together. We call it breathing. We call it a vital symptom of life. And in case people forget, there's a great t-shirt with this instruction. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out on this particular t-shirt. I love it. I need to get it. I should have got it today. Anyway. It's also signs of our spiritual life. I want you to get that thought in your mind. It's signs of our spiritual life. And I want to preach a very, very simple sermon called Breathing In and Breathing Out, because the subject of breathing is in our text and something powerful that Jesus does in John chapter 20. So let's read that out and see if you can pick it out. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands and the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of his nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hand, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Breathing is a very profound concept. When my daughter was first born, Sophia, exciting moment, your first child, you're in the hospital. And the first responsibility of the doctors was to get her breathing. There was a bit of a complication that the umbilical cord wrapped around her neck as she was coming down, as she was coming out of the womb. And as she was coming out, her face was blue. And so there was doctors and nurses all the way around trying to sort the complication out. You know, at that moment, I wasn't interested who she looked like. I wasn't interested, you know, is it a boy, is it a girl, all those other things that people, how big is she? All I was interested, all everybody in that room was interested is she breathing? Because if she wasn't, we'd have a different tale to say. You know, paramedics, when they first go on a scene, and a scene, the first thing is to get people breathing. We did a first aid course at school, and I remember the first 5 things you have to do by the acronym Dr. ABC, danger, response. I know, I had to act it all out. And then comes A, airways and breathing, and then you can do some CPR. Breathing is the number one priority. You've got to make sure people are breathing. Breath is synonymous with the Spirit of God in the Bible. As a matter of fact, the word for spirit, pneuma, and the word ruach in Hebrew is the words for breath. The word spirit and breath are synonymous. Where there is spirit, there is breath. The Latin word spirare was where we get the word respiratory system from. And like the wind, the spirit that is unseen, but it's the very essence of life. In Genesis chapter 1, we see there is chaos, there is disorder, there is darkness, there is disorder, there is emptiness, and yet what transforms that chaos is the hovering spirits, the breathing of the Holy Spirit, the brooding of the Holy Spirit over that chaos that transforms it into life. In day 6, when God forms man, the Bible says he formed him out of the dust of the ground. He formed the shape of a man. And the Bible says something very interesting. He breathed on him and he became a living soul. Breath is synonymous with the life of God. John's Gospel, the New Testament version of Genesis, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. It is almost like God is breathing over the chaos in people's lives. The same word that transformed the chaos in Genesis is the same word that transforms the chaos in the first century. It's the same word that transforms the chaos in our own lives. If there is a spirit hovering over our circumstances, how many people live a chaotic life sometimes? Sometimes things happen and there's chaos. The thing that makes the difference is the breathing, the brooding of the Holy Spirit to transform that chaos, and thank God he does. So it's no accident that these disciples, they're hiding because of the fear of Jews. The doors are shut. They're afraid. Their Messiah has been crucified. They're in fear of the Jews, and Jesus comes in the midst of them and does something very interesting. The Bible says he breathes on them. Something happened to these people. These natural men and women were transformed into supernatural beings. When Jesus breathed on them, they became the church, the called out ones, the ones that were going to take this gospel to the four corners of the earth. This was God's new creation. This was the foundation of the church. This was spiritually dead humanity receiving the breath of God and the life of God. You know, sometimes we take our salvation, just like breathing, for granted, don't we? Do you know you're a new creation? Did you know that you are not here because of education or because of parentage or because of tradition? You are here because of a miracle of God. God breathed on you. And when we breathe, it's a constant reminder not to take our lives, and especially our spiritual lives, our salvation, for granted. Can I hear somebody say amen? You can whisper if you like. Now, what began as a spiritual work and a spiritual life must also be sustained. When my daughter first came out and we got her breathing, she's been breathing ever since. I know there's been some issues. You know, she thought she was going to die one day, and some psychosomatic sort of stuff, and she gets pretty nervous and anxious and stuff, but she's still breathing. She was breathing yesterday when she called us on the phone, and things were all okay. You know, once people start breathing, the important thing is to keep them breathing. And that's why this COVID thing is such a scary thing. That's why we have these lockdowns. We don't want people stopping breathing. So here's some things that keep you spiritually breathing. We need the Word. I like what Rob was saying. We need the Word. We need the Word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, to the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word is living. The Word is breathing. And this Word, sometimes used as milk or meat, it is the sustainer of spiritual life. And sometimes it's the sword. It's the thing that cuts out those things that harm us and cause spiritual death. We need the Word. We need the preaching of the Word of God. You know, I never thought about this, but my Bible, this is my old Bible, big enough to choke a mule. And so this one here, lots of notes and lots of different things on here, and got it cheap from Koorong in the olden days. This normally was about $150. I got it for about $10. The reason was the middle section in the book of Exodus was repeated. There was a bit of a repeat. So I got another Bible and I actually stuck the book of Exodus in between there. I got myself cut the pages out and actually stuck that little section that was repeated and became my own little personal Bible. This is my Bible. All right. I got a $150 Bible for $15, leather bound, the whole thing. My wife says, don't be stupid, just get yourself a proper Bible. No, it's $15, I'm going to get this Bible, I've had it for years. Anyway, 1,400 pages in this Bible, and the very middle of it, you open to the middle, page 700, it's Psalm 119. You know what Psalm 119 is, don't you? Okay, it's literally 30 or 29, whatever it is, letters of the Hebrew alphabet being an acronym. First word of the Hebrew letter, okay, Aleph, Beth, Gimel. And so there's a little section beginning with Aleph, and then there's a little section about the Word of God, about the wonderful Word of God. Let me read you the first one, which begins with Aleph. And it basically says, blessed, the word is in the original Hebrew, the letter is the Hebrew, blessed, I can't read this, it's too small. So there you go. I understood blessed because it's in big print, so there you go. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say this morning is right in the center of this Bible, beyond, you know, creation, the beginning, and there's, you know, the devil being cast into hell, and all the at the end, this big drama right in the middle of it all, is the thing that sustains it. It's the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God. So what we're doing this morning, hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, is an important thing. It keeps you breathing. Reading, listening, studying, inquiring, it's all breathing in. I'm breathing in the Word of God. Hopefully you're getting some breathing in, like someone's been breathing on you this morning. We also need worship. Worship is filling our lungs, our spiritual lungs, with oxygen. You know, there's a rich vocabulary of worship. You'll see people singing unto the Lord, people shouting unto the Lord, people lifting hands, people bowing, people being prostrate, people being still, people being silent. Rich vocabulary of what constitutes worship in the Word of God. It's not just singing songs in church. Do not limit worship to that. Worship is breathing. I was listening to Matt Redman this morning on the way up, Heart of Worship, one of my favorite songs. And the story behind that was that the church that he was a part of, the pastor says, "You guys in the worship team, you're killing worship. It's not. It's beyond. It's no longer worship. It's all about the music. It's all about the song." And so they had a sabbatical for a little season. They prayed about it, and they came back. I don't know if you know the story. They came back, and that song was birthed out of that. It's, let me give you more than a song. Let us take you back to the heart of worship. It's more than the song. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. You know, sometimes worship can get in the way of worship, if you know what I mean. It's all about the song. It's all about the words. It's all about the beat. It's all about this. It's all about... There's been more arguments in the worship team. I know, because I've been a part of a worship team. Over one note. Of one chord. And what it does, it chokes. The very thing that's supposed to promote life is the very thing that chokes. The thing that God wants to bring in, this oxygen. Fellowship with the saints is oxygen to our soul. There's nothing like the fellowship of the saints. Nothing like-minded people encouraging each other, uplifting each other. You know, this is the whole insidious thing about COVID, is the whole social distancing. We can't be together. We've all got to be apart. You know, last week we were deliberating whether we should meet or not. It's an attack of the devil, isn't it? That meeting together, that whole sense of being social, the whole sense of fellowship. It's oxygen to our souls. You know, just when I meet with Rob, you know, we've met together last week, just doing that walk around the school, just remind me what we used to do in the olden days. Just oxygen to my soul, like-minded people talking about the Word of God. This, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? As opposed to some grumbling person. I don't want to be with that. I'm gasping for air. Prayer, the communion of the saints. Prayer is communion with God. It's oxygen. It's breathing in. It's the voice. The voice crying out, thanksgiving or laments. You know, many, many, many prayers are recorded in the Bible. They can be a template for your prayer. What prayer is breathing in the life of God. Many times we can't articulate that prayer. That's okay. Just a groan will do. That's a prayer. How do I know that? Because in the Bible there's a prayer that's recorded by Hannah. She's in the temple praying, and to Eli the priest, she sounded like she was drunk and inarticulated and slurring her words. She was not making any sense at all. And Eli accused her, says, "You're drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning." And her response is, "I'm not drunk. I'm just crying out to God. I'm trying to gasp for breath, trying to find some meaning." And God answered her prayer. I think this is where Romans chapter 8 picks this up, Romans 8:26 and 27 before that, "And we know that all things work together." 26 and 27 says these words, likewise the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses when we're gasping for breath. You know those times when you're just like thinking that the whole thing's going to collapse? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know the things, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the word of God. You know those times when you feel breathless, when you feel like life has knocked you down? Groanings will do. Groanings that cannot be uttered. That word groanings means sigh or groan. Uttered means wordless or inexpressible. It's okay to come to God with, oh. That's probably the best prayer you will utter if you did it honestly. You don't have to go in King James English. Now, all the above, the Word of God, worship, genuine worship, fellowship with the saints, prayer, they're all things that trigger breathing in. When I'm genuinely praying, even if it's a groan, when I'm genuinely worshiping, offering praises to God and thanksgiving and laments, when I'm reading, discussing, talking about the Word, it's like, I'm breathing in. But that's not where it stops. What goes in must come out. It must come out. If all we did as Christians is read, pray, meditate, worship, and fellowship, it's what we kind of define, the big five, the big thing of Christianity. Right? What makes you a Christian? Well, I read my Bible, I pray, I fellowship with the saints. That's half of it. That's breathing in, but it's not breathing. There has to be some breathing out. Carbon dioxide must come out or you will die. A church that only is inward focused turns toxic and will die. If all you do is read and discuss the Word of God in here as a church, you will die. And notice verse 21 of our text. Jesus came to these people that were locked into a little room, probably about the size of this. Chairs arranged like this. And Jesus comes in the midst of them and he says, I have sent you into the world just as the Father has sent me. And then he breathed on them. He encouraged them. He says, peace be to you. He gave them some words, some interaction, but then he sent them out. So he breathed in on them so they can breathe out. So they can be the church. The context of Jesus breathing on them was in order for them to fulfill the Great Commission. He breathed on them because he sent them out into the world just like the Father sent him. See, the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and the day of Pentecost fully comes. Oh, did you know that 23rd, 2 days? 2 weeks from now, 23rd of May, is the day of Pentecost. 50 days after Easter. It's a good day to celebrate, by the way. And so these guys were obeying and observing the Jewish feast, the day of the Passover, is what we know as the Jesus crucifixion and resurrection. 50 days after was the feast of Pentecost. And on that day, the Holy Spirit decided to fall upon these men and women and became the breathing out of the church. We're going through the book of Acts in our church at the moment. Our pastor preached last week on this very text, Acts chapter 2, verse 8. And it says, you know what, we as a Reformed tradition, we kind of look at the Holy Spirit as something inward and very private and all this. Yeah, all good, but Acts chapter 2, verse 8, this is a Reformed guy, it's not Pentecostal by any means, has to acknowledge that there's something went on in Acts chapter 2. Something powerful happened. The breathing out of the church with signs and wonders. So the book of Acts is just simply the doings of the church empowered by the Spirit. The whole book of Acts, the whole adventures of the book of Acts, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the demons being cast out, everything that was happening there was the doings of the church empowered by the Spirit. Jesus said these words, "Freely you have received, freely give. To whom much is given, much is required." You've been given a lot, much is required. You've got to breathe out. You've got to release it. There's an expectation to use your gifting, your resources, your time, your talent, not only for yourself. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed me. I am rich. I am so blessed, blessed. Yeah, that's good. God has blessed you. But what are you doing to release that for the kingdom of God and for the glory of God? Think about this for a moment. Do you realize that why many Christians are blowing up? Disgruntled, frustrated, bored, toxic, angry, bitter. Here's the condition. They're not breathing out. They're breathing in, but they're not breathing out. They're taking in, going to lots of conferences, going to lots of church meetings, but they're not giving out. So what gives meaning to the word is sharing it with others. The reason why I study the word is not so I can become knowledgeable, this super brain of Bible scripture. It's so I can somehow give it to others in a palatable form. That's what witnessing is all about. Sharing the word of God, my testimony, what God has done in me, what God is doing in my life. That's what witnessing is all about. When I witness to someone, I'm sharing what God is doing in my life. When we pray, when I pray, I don't just pray for me. I pray for others. When I thank God for my blessing, I take that blessing and I try to give it to others. My talent is not for me to just practice and get these songs perfect in my own room, in my own little study. It's to somehow bless the church through the gift of music. Are you getting what I'm saying here this morning? Very, very, very important, because there's some obstacles to breathing. There's some things that want to choke out the life of God. There's diseases, emphysema, asthma, choking, and now COVID. It all affects your breathing. And if it's not treated, it will lead to death. So here in our text in verse 19, there's a word. It's opposed to faith. It's opposed to the breathing of the church. A lively, life-filled church. It's the word fear. And these men and women were shut behind doors because of the fear of the Jews, because of fear what other people were going to do to them. You know, if there's no breathing in, if there's no prayer, if there's no worship, no faith in the word of God, no fellowship with saints, there is no life. And it's very interesting that Thomas, I think, was probably patient zero, infected with COVID. There was some strain that stopped him being in the community. There was fear and unbelief. He was not part of the group. He was struggling to believe. He was struggling to breathe. He's just like that Indian man in ICU, separated, struggling. Spent 3 years with Jesus, but now he's struggling. He's not breathing. Statements like verse 25, "Unless I see, I will not believe." Becoming totally irrational. How many know if you see, you don't need to believe? "Unless I see, I will not believe." That's totally irrational. The whole essence of faith is you don't have to see to believe. fear kept many, not only Thomas, but many from being present in that room and also in the upper room when the Spirit was poured out. There's only about 120 there. There was no opportunity for them to breathe out. Fear was containing the church. And if Jesus didn't come in and breathe on them and send them on their mission, we would not be here today. You know, the parable of the talents, what's that all about? One man with a talent, because of fear of losing that, hides it in the ground. Fear of the master, think he's a hard man, hides that and doesn't express it. Yeah, he's got the talent, he's breathing in, but he's not breathing out. He's not releasing that talent. See, fear distorts our view of God and also God's plan for our life. What fear is hindering you from breathing out? What fear is hindering you from breathing out? What is choking the life of God in your life? I thank God that Jesus gives us the antidote to fear. And in verse 19 and verse 26, Jesus said these powerful words, "Peace be with you." Peace be with you. He says it to disciples. Not only once, but three times he says, "Peace be with you." There's something powerful about the peace of God, isn't it? It's not just words. It's the peace of God that transcends. It totally surpasses all understanding. When you feel the peace of God, all chaos may be going around you, but you feel the sense of peace. Where is that coming from? It's the peace of God. It's the peace of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I had got Christian living classes at school. I've got 3 Year 11 classes, and one particular girl has been clamoring to come into my class because she heard I was like kind of preaching the Word of God there, and she became a brand new Christian. So she somehow managed to get into my class. That's good. So she wrangled. So she's in my Christian living class, and I'm going to take it as my opportunity to be a disciple in the ways of the Lord. Anyway, she turned up on Friday. And I was talking about seeds being the starting point of great ideas. So talking about worldviews and how, you know, the worldview of communism started with a conversation in a coffee shop in Vienna. And this conversation, these words that were exchanged, were fertile ground at the time, 1920s, whatever it was. And this seed became the seedbed for communism. And in that same cafe place, Hitler was there, and the conversations that were ensued was the fascism and Nazism and the lots of cultural conversation. All the things that we see worldwide started off with a seed and a conversation. I was talking about Jesus. You know, the seed that was planted of the gospel is affecting me right now. The gospel is pre-permeate. So with the whole seed thought, and I saw her at lunchtime. I said, what did you learn today in Christian living? And she says, well, yeah, the whole thing about seeds and begin to grow and all this. Because, you know, then she says, I suffer from anxiety. And sometimes I just allow these things to permeate. And I just simply said these words. I said, look, in the same way you plant seeds that will cause anxiety, start planting some seeds about peace. And start planting some seeds about, you know, being a child of God and being loved by God. And her countenance just changed. Just words that were exchanged. Here's a person that's suffering from anxiety, yet one word from the Word, plant some seeds, they'll produce peace. Her countenance changed. We need to acknowledge that God is in total control. I can read you passages like this one, John chapter 14:27. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give it as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The whole reason the book of Revelation, all the things that were written there, was to give comfort to Christians who were being persecuted. God's in control, folks. Yes, there is a pandemic. Yeah, the financial system will collapse. Yeah, Babylon will be destroyed. Yeah, all these things. my super, my retirement, yeah, all those fears. You know, I know where you live right now, because becoming an older person now, I'm 62. I'm thinking more about these things. I'm thinking like an old person. But then I have to calm myself down, like in Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and petition, prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You're breathing in, and the peace of God, just almost like Jesus is present, he'll breathe on you, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds by Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever lovely, whatever admirable, anything that is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things, meditate on these things, and whatever you have learned or received from me or seen me, put into practice. Breathe out. Did you get that? You're anxious. Breathe in. The peace of God comes in there. And then start meditating, pondering on these things that are lovely and admirable and praiseworthy. And the God of peace will guard your heart, and he'll be with you as you practice these things. The peace of God is not just this passive thing. It is powerful. It restores breathing. It's almost like, no, you're breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. So today, on Mother's Day, I'm encouraging you to just breathe. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Maybe acknowledge some of the fear, doubt, and anxiety like Thomas that you've been having. Restore some appetite for the Word of God and prayer and genuine fellowship and worship. And then breathe out. Get involved in ministry. What ministry is just doing something for somebody else rather than yourself? That's what ministry is. Like yesterday, we had to babysit my daughter's cat while they went out on a night. And I didn't want to do it. I wanted to stay home. It's a dumb cat. It can take care of itself. My wife had a stern talk with me. Come on, you can do this. But then God spoke to me and said, this is ministry. Even taking care of a dumb cat for 3 hours while your daughter has some time, you can do that. You can do that, Smilla. You don't have to sit home and just veg out. You just can do this. Ministry. Things that you don't like doing. And what a great message for Mother's Day, eh? Doing something for somebody else. Honoring somebody that's kind of responsible for us here. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? So today, in Mother's Day, the sense of mission, the sense of joy and meaning, bring this sense of joy and meaning in life. When you celebrate mothers today, do it with a genuine heart. Don't get involved in an argument, right? Just enjoy and just honor them who they are, and have a wonderful sense of breathing out from what you've breathed in today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in the Word of God. Breathe in prayer, worship, fellowship, like-minded people. And breathe out, do something. Do something with what you've received. Freely you've been given. Freely you receive, freely give. Can I encourage every one of you? What will keep you going, what will keep you alive individually, is to do something for somebody else. Any opportunity that you have to minister to someone, whether it be a student at school or wherever line of work, a loved one, son, daughter, parents, do something for somebody else. It's what the Bible calls ministry. And do it for the glory of God. When you're honoring mothers today. Do it for the glory and the honor of God, with a genuine heart. It will restore breathing. It will restore breathing. It will restore the essence of what you were created for. We're called to be witnesses. And what a witness is this is what God is doing in my life, to represent the life of God working in you so somebody else can see it. It will keep you breathing. It will keep you spiritual. It's why I'm still breathing, I believe, years on. I've been saved for like 38 years. And the reason why I'm still breathing today, spiritually breathing, is because that's what I endeavor to do. What I take in, I endeavor to give out. In my home, in my workplace, even preaching up here. So can I encourage you to be excited about all the things that we think makes us Christians: the Word of God, fellowship, prayer, worship, but also breathing out, going to the community, doing what God's called you to do, any opportunity that you have. In the supermarket, the cash out, just striking up a conversation with the person in front and behind and just somehow talking about the things of God. I don't know, God is the one that orchestrates those things. Can I encourage you to breathe in and breathe out? Let's just pause at the moment. I'm going to give you a chance to breathe in, breathe out, allow you to meditate, ponder, think about what I've just said. Father, we thank you for the breath of life. We thank you that you've given us breath as living souls, but also for being your church. We have a life beyond this physical life. We have a spiritual life. And I just pray that you will maintain and sustain that through our love for the Word of God, our communion with the saints and with you through prayer, through worship, and breathing out through a sense of mission. I just pray right now that you will cause this church to be a light and a beacon in this community. Give them, everyone, an opportunity, even tomorrow, even this afternoon, an opportunity to minister the life that you've given them. I just pray this in Jesus' name.